The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held October 24 and 25, 2019, in Spokane, Washington.
Well, good morning and welcome to this workshop. We're glad you're here. I'm just saying this classroom and this school here holds lots of memories for me. I worked here for 8 years, spent a lot of time here in administration, principal, school board work, and so it's a pleasure to be back. Brings back a lot of good memories, brings back some other types of memories too, that experiences that we would just as soon not have gone through, but they did shape our work and our thinking about the Christian school. Board meetings. How, what, when, and why? Why do you have board meetings? In a little bit, I'm going to give you opportunity to say why you have board meetings. We're going to list some of those here, so be prepared for that. 16 years ago, when we were looking for a place to house the staff for the Garden Springs Christian School, which is what they have here, Jim Palmer, a realtor from the Deer Park area, showed me a place I thought might work for our school staff. At that time, the Mennonite Church was supplying the entire staff for this school here. When I mentioned to him, he showed me a place I thought might work. When I mentioned to him that I needed to go back to the committee or go back to the board to discuss this, he kind of chuckled. And he said, if Moses would have needed to work through a committee, the Jews would still be in Egypt. Well, that statement does reflect perhaps the attitude many people have about working with a board or on a board or a committee. Another person put it this way, the 11th commandment should be, thou shalt not committee. Well, we've probably all heard, maybe even felt, stories of the frustrations that can go along with school board work. Might be a rebellious 14-year-old that the teacher is having difficulty handling. It might be parents who are defending their child. We've heard about that a little bit, in their wrongdoing, in his wrongdoing. Might be a teacher who's not taking their responsibility as seriously as they should and not simply not getting the job done. Or maybe you're still looking for school teachers at the time school is supposed to start. These things can be difficult. They can be frustrating. But I can hardly imagine what it would be like to face those kinds of needs and problems in the school by myself. I've never had to do that. Without support or input of ideas and inspiration from one or more other persons. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you had to do it all by yourself, but I hope not. I was happy to tell Jim that I felt very blessed to have the board that we had to work with at that time. Had a high appreciation for that. And I would not have thought of attempting a project such as we were working with here by myself. I wouldn't have done that. So as much as we hate to leave our families, our work, our leisure, to have yet another meeting, I can't think of a more effective way to arrive at sound decisions for our schools. I don't think it can be done with phone calls. I don't think it can be done with text messages or conference calls or emails. As good as those things are as ways of communication, I don't think anything is as good as a face-to-face meeting with those that you're working with. So why do you have board meetings?
Let's have some reasons.
By the way, how many here are school board members? Raise your hands. Okay. I kind of assumed that would be the case. So. All right. So why do you have meetings? Why did you have your last meeting?
Informative
to
the members.
Okay. Information.
Planning.
Answer teachers' questions.
Okay, keep going. Communication with parents. Is that all?
It helps us to keep a vision and a purpose.
Okay, vision. We've heard a lot about vision, and rightly so.
Discussing curriculum sometimes.
Okay, decisions. What are some other decisions that the board works on?
Investing time and building confidence in each other.
Okay, you're getting very close to one of the primary things. Investing time. Building confidence in each other, right? Okay.
You already alluded to it, but it's an encouragement to each other. We encourage one another by sharing.
Okay. Encouragement, is that what you said?
Share the load.
Very good. All right, well, maybe that's enough. I would like to suggest here, and tell me what you think of it, because I'd like for this to be interactive. And this point here probably comes the closest to what I'm thinking, but I think one of the most important things that our school boards need to do is to invest time in team building. I meant to leave a little more space up there. And the reason I say this is that so often our work becomes disjointed, or we look at the school as being separate parts rather than parts of a whole. And in building a team, how many of you have ever worked on a team that functions very well? Okay. And I hope your school boards are working very well that way. It's a pleasure, isn't it? When you have a team that has a focus, we have the vision, we know what our vision is, and we're all working that towards that vision. I think that team building is probably the most important, or one of the most important things of a school board. Now, if this wheel represents a school, a Christian school, where would you put the school board in relation to a wheel like that? Anybody? It's already been alluded to in one of our other workshops here. I'm not sure if I can pick that out. Anyway. Somebody?
Center.
The hub, right? And so we have spokes, we have lots of things reaching in. But here's where it takes the weight and the heat and the grease to keep that school functioning. You have parents reaching into that. You have teachers. You have ministry. You have students at times. The school board is central and critical. If the bearings run out of grease and things start to squeak there, the school can come to a halt, come to a stop, or at least not function very well. And so the school board is central to the functioning and work of a school. Now, we talk about teamwork. Who all should be on your team as school boards? Okay. Everyone in the church. Okay. Let's list them in order of priority of communication, for example. If you're a school board chairman and you're responsible for heading up this team, first of all, who are your team members?
Fellow board members.
Okay. Then who? And again, this is kind of reviewing a little bit what Brother Gerald had. Who is
ministry?
Ministry could be there, and they may serve as another... Anyway, let's say ministry.
Teachers.
Okay, I'm going to skip a space here because there's another function in most schools that is important.
I'm not sure where you're going, but for myself, when I feel that need, I think of God.
Okay, let's put that up here.
Pray first.
For we are laborers together with God, right? Okay. Very good. And that was going to be one of my wrap-up points. Okay.
There should be a principal or a lead teacher.
Okay. Principal, lead. Okay. That's our normal outline of responsibility. They should all be on our team. Everybody should be. But when you have, we're thinking here of board meetings now, we're not bringing all the parents into our board meetings. Maybe at the most one or two if there's a special issue that you need to talk about there. But to consider them all. I heard a statement one time that they wonder if the teachers are trying to run the school. And that may have been the case in that particular school. And that was made by a board member. Now, in my mind, if we're building a team and making the teachers, bring the teachers in as a valuable part of that team, it's not anybody running anybody. But all bringing all together. And the principal is a primary link between the teachers and the school board. But they still need to be considered very much part of the team. And that's why I feel that is so important to have them as part of the team. So what do we have when we have good teamwork? Well, there's confidence in each other. You learn to trust each other. I'm going to poke this in here because I don't have it in my notes. If you want a very instructive book, how many of you have read the book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team? Okay? It's a very instructive book. Now you think, I don't want to have dysfunctions, but you flip the points that the writer makes in that book and say the five functions of a team, you can flip that and build off of that. It's a very instructive book. I can't remember the author. Do you know?
Patrick Lencon.
Patrick, okay. Write that down. If you're interested in building teamwork with your board, with your principal, with your teachers, with your ministry, that's very instructive.
What was the name again?
The Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
What's the author? L-E-N-I-C-L.
It starts with an L. That's all I could remember. I couldn't remember the first name. And I didn't take the time to try to dig mine out. A lot of my books are still in boxes from our move, so I didn't dig that out. But when we're thinking about team building, it creates confidence. When you have a team that you have confidence, you know they have your back. As a board chairman, there's times you're going to take heat for whatever the board decides. They're going to go to the chairman, right? But if you know that you have involved the team in whatever decision you made, and they've got your back, that's confidence. That's strength. And you can move ahead on that. You can also back up on that. You can go to your team and say, hey, you know, there's some things we didn't think about. We need to consider that, right? So you have the confidence that you can go back to them and they're not going to say, well, you're just shifting gears on us. No, you're working together as a team, and so you can do all those things. It creates confidence from your patrons as well when they see the board working together and the teachers working together and they're synchrony and harmony in that working together. It creates confidence in your teachers. Your teachers will have confidence that their concerns will be heard, maybe not acted on, maybe not even taken, but at least heard and feedback to them about what the board has decided. If they've decided not to move ahead on a teacher recommendation, it builds confidence that they have been part of the team and that they have been heard and have a voice on the team. One of the functions, or the dysfunctions, and I think it was the number three point on teamwork, was lack of dissension. That's not the right
buy-in.
Word.
Huh? Wasn't it the buy-in?
It wasn't the buy-in. That was the next one. But in other words, you have this team that's working together, but somebody's afraid to voice an objection because of fear of retribution or fear of whatever. And when you have a team where somebody is afraid to speak up, your team isn't functioning right. You need to have a team where everybody feels like they can put their stuff out on the table. Everybody can put it out on the table, and there's not going to be any ill feeling. And when that follows on through to the next steps, I should have looked that up. I can't remember, but it's built in a pyramid, and it brings you to a focus at the end. And at the end of those five steps, you're all coming together, and you know where you're going. That's vision. You need to know where you're going. All right, team building, team planning. My points all begin with team here. Why we have board meetings. What are some of the things that you plan at board meetings? I think that's here somewhere. Yeah. team planning. What are some of the things that you plan? Lots of things, right? What are some of them?
School events, like Christmas dinner program.
Mm-hmm. Special events. Programs, field trips, right?
Next year.
Which days are going to have off?
Okay. Calendar, scheduling. Exactly. Lots of things. Teacher orientation. How many of you have teacher orientation when you get your teachers together before the school year? I think it's a very important part. For what purposes? I think it's a good time to impart to them your vision for the school. Even if they are coming back after teaching 2 or 3 or 4 years, it's good to have that. Teacher orientation, teacher teamwork. Let them know that you value their input at any time they see something that can improve the school, that they think can improve the school. Again, you don't always have to take those suggestions, but I think it's important that you hear them, that we hear them as board members. Even some teacher training, I think, is good. They need to know what is in the Constitution, what is in the vision for the school, what has happened in the past, what you're looking for the coming year, the year planning, any changes that have been made over the summertime that you feel is important. Teacher orientation, teacher training. And let them know. I have here deciding the team members, who the other team members are. If you have a lead teacher that's going to be principal, they can relate primarily to that, but I think it's also important that they feel free to come to any of the board members with a concern or with a need or a problem that they have that they want discussed at a board meeting. To know who the team members are and who the players are. Okay, do you have anything else that you'd like to add on the planning part of it? What about team assignments? Do you make assignments? I thought I saw that here. Planning, anyway. Team assignments. Or does your board chairman do it all? You have a board meeting and you discuss things, and then the board chairman says, okay, I'll take care of this, this, and this, and this, and this. And everything else that comes up in between meetings. It happens too, quite often that way. I think it's better, and I learned this in working here with the school here. The first year we had school, we were looking for 8 teachers. I couldn't do it all. So we assigned them. We were looking for suggestions. We were looking high and low. There was another school had done a similar project. They had a whole list of teachers that they had worked through. They shared that list with us. We started working through it. I think we got 1 or 2 off of that list. But one person couldn't do it all, so we made assignments. Different board members, okay, you take these 2 and you do the background on them. You take these 2 and you do the background. You take these 3 and I'll take these. And we worked together on that. Nobody hired a teacher without coming back to the board to make that decision. And I think, again, that's important. Evaluating teacher prospects can be done individually. The board chairman doesn't have to do it all. The board chairman can assign some of that. And a good way to do that is if there's a suggestion made, do you know anybody in that community that you can talk to about that person? that would know them well, somebody that you have confidence, ask the other board members, do you know anybody in that community? Do you know their ministry? Do you know just anybody? And make an assignment. If they know somebody that you don't know, say, hey, would you mind contacting them? Get their feedback on it. Make an assignment. Make an assignment for planning events. Again, the board chairman doesn't have to do it all. It may be, you may make an assignment to a parent. Okay, we want to take a field trip. Could you look for possibilities and get back to me in a week? The board chairman or a board member could hand that off to a parent. Come back with some suggestions in a week's time. Evaluating curriculum. How many of you have ever had to evaluate curriculum in the course of your school board work? Okay. Do you do it all yourself? No. See, that can be handed out too. You need to have them come back, of course, to the board, but you don't have to do it all yourself. Years ago at Pine Grove, we were making a major change, and the whole church got involved. Different books were passed around. We were asked to evaluate the books, and that's the way the board got input and were able to make decisions based on that, and the curriculum worked well. And when you're done with something like that, you feel like you have the support of not only the board making decision, but of the congregation as well. And so those assignments can be made. You can assign building repairs. Oftentimes I've seen board chairmen out there, and there's nothing wrong with it, they have time, but building repairs are something you can assign to somebody else. You have somebody in your community that is good at that type of thing. How about mediation between a teacher and a student, or between a teacher and patron, if there's some conflict? Years ago, my father was teaching, and there was a student that, I don't know all the details of it, disrespectful. Teacher's name was Harry, and the student's name was Harry. I don't think that had anything to do with it, but I remember the student's name because I heard this, but the parents were sticking up for the student, for their child. Somebody had to mediate. The board stepped in that case, and I don't know if the ministry did in that, but somebody had to mediate this, because it was past the point of the teacher and student being able to do that. Again, there may be somebody else that has better mediation skills than I would have as a school board member, and you may be able to have them step in and say, would you be willing to go and talk to these people? I think even that can be a sign. I would be careful with that, because finally the board's going to be responsible for that. Team decisions. We talked about decisions, or planning, decisions, and curriculum. So what are some of the major decisions? Curriculum is one of them. What are some other major decisions that the board needs to work as a team in making? We've already maybe talked about some of these. Are you getting ready to say something? No? Okay. In your larger schools, how many students will the teacher be able to effectively handle? Classroom size. School policies. Now, most of us come into schools where the policies are pretty well set, but sometimes policies need to be decided as well. New policies. These are major decisions the board needs to work together on. Discipline, especially if it's getting to the point where a student is not responding, the parents aren't responding well, and the decision whether to keep them in school or not. That's a major decision. I don't think the school board chairman should make that on his own. That should be a team decision. What to do with something like that. I already mentioned teacher hiring and firing. Now, I've never been involved in firing a teacher, and I hope I never will be, but I was in a community where a teacher was dismissed in the middle of the school year because she wasn't doing her job. Just simply was running around, socializing, whatever. I was too young to be on any board, but the youth got some of the backwash of that. And so, but again, that needs to be a team decision. Protect yourselves, save yourselves from some unnecessary flack by working as a team. There's strength in that. In the multitude of counselors, the proverb writer says, there's safety. And you can protect yourself by doing that. Evaluation and motivation, I think, is a very good team activity. Now, what do I mean by evaluation? Our teachers deserve evaluation. Now, some of them are going to cringe at that. A school board member walks into the classroom and sits down in the back of the room, and maybe he has a clipboard and a form there, and every once in a while he writes something on the form. I've been a teacher too, and that's a little bit intimidating. How do you handle that? How do you prepare for that? Or don't you?
One thing is you can give the teacher the form after you're done there. Say, this is what I'm going to be taking to the board.
Okay. But maybe they don't know that when you walk in. Okay.
Yeah, I think before that you should be working and establishing some kind of rapport with the teacher that they're not that scared of you.
Yeah. Okay. Work ahead of time. Let them know that at some point in time you're going to be coming in. I think a good way to prepare for that, it was probably 4 or 5 years into it. It wasn't that long. Anyway, we decided to do a little teacher training here because part of our vision here was to transition from an all Mennonite staff teachers to the Russian Baptist teachers. At some point in there, they didn't have the background of going through 10 years of Christian Day School. So we cobbled together a little teacher training course for two of our teachers that were interested in becoming teachers. And I borrowed from things that Verlin Miller had brought to WFTI. I called him up and said, you know, what's some of the stuff that you talked about back there about 3 or 4 years ago, and he gave me a list of materials. And we put together a little teacher training for these two students that had completed 10th grade, and they came back the following year to take this teacher training as well as take some other courses. And part of that teacher training is evaluation. So after we had done quite a bit of the book work and what to expect or what a teacher should be, I said, now we're going to take this, I want you to take this form, and you're going to go and sit in Miss Kendra's classroom, and you're going to evaluate how she presents her lessons, you're going to evaluate the walls, you're going to evaluate that whole classroom, and here's a form: excellent, good, fair, poor on all these, and I want you to fill it in. And then if you mark something that's less than excellent, you need to say, how would you improve that, or how would you correct it? So they were the evaluator. Then when they got their chance to teach a class, then that teacher evaluated them. So they were already used to it. The idea of evaluation. We can prepare our teachers for that. Now, you don't always have that, but at the beginning of the school year, you can make that part of your teacher orientation. I think it's important that our teachers get feedback from the school board. And that can be a team activity. Again, one person can't do it all. But they need to know that you're not doing it to be critical, but you're doing it to help the vision of the school, whatever your vision is, to help them fill their place in the vision. And I think that's very good. Evaluation and motivation. You can use that to motivate them. If there's something that needs serious correction, you can help them with that correction. Invite teacher input about your own performance. I think that's important too. Let them know, you know, I'm human. I make mistakes. Just because I'm on the board, I don't know it all. Here's something that happened just down the hall here. I was in a classroom one day at recess time, and one of the boys, about a fifth grade boy, was sassing back at the teacher, and I corrected him very forcefully. And I didn't think I was out of place at all. He needed it. He definitely needed it, but it wasn't, I think, before recess was over. Three little girls, about third grade girls, fourth grade maybe, they stopped me in the hallway down there and they said, why were you mad at Max? I said, mad? I said, I wasn't mad at Max. Well, you sure looked like it. You sure acted like it. Whoa. Okay, but they need to have that freedom. Teachers need to have that freedom and give them that freedom. Invite it, because we as board members need correction sometimes, and I needed that. I said, if I left that impression, I said, I'll come in the classroom when recess is over, and I apologize for that. I apologize to Max. I apologize to, I couldn't remember who all was in the classroom at that time. And we went on, and that was the end of it. So invite feedback. So we've already talked about our team members. Our teachers are the frontline troops in any classroom. They're your eyes and your ears about what's going on in the school. Establish that rapport. They are in the thick of the action. Someone said, regardless of rank, every soldier has a significant role in the total Army mission. When we have the mission, our vision, mission statement, whatever that is, every soldier, regardless of the rank, has a very vital role. Sergeant Major Julius Gates said this, the greatness of our Army has always been the ability of our soldiers who serve in the ranks to rise to the challenge against the odds in the face of danger and win. But it takes the support and the confidence of the school board. And school board meetings are a good place to build that. All right. That's the why. How? How do you conduct your board meetings? And there can be a multitude of ways. We've already heard one. I'm just going to go through these. Agenda. I think agenda is important. If it can be distributed to the board members before the board meeting, preferably a couple days, particularly if there's issues they need to be thinking, the other board members need to be thinking about. It can be emailed, passed out at church, print a copy to bring to the meeting. Board chairman passed out three-ring binders. Put it in your three-ring binder and bring it to the meeting. I think having an agenda is good. And one of the points that was made is include your lead teacher or principal in making out the agenda for your board meeting. I think that's good. They have probably a closer feel of what the needs of the school are than any of the school board members do. Time, date, and place should be clearly stated on the agenda, with the agenda. And all that you want at the meeting should be notified. If you want a parent to be at the meeting, if it's something that you need to discuss with a parent, let them know a couple days in advance. Don't just say, hey, could you be at a meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and you call them at noon over your break time, say, hey, we need to meet with you at 3:30 after school. Well, sometimes that might be appropriate, but hopefully not. Minutes of the previous meeting. Our board chairman has asked for that, and I happen to be secretary, so that's my responsibility. It's not always the easiest thing to get it done, or it's an easy thing to forget, let's put it that way. But I think it's good, because sometimes there's things on those minutes that was unfinished business that needs to be finished up. And so it reminds the other board members of what some of those things are. If teachers are present, discuss their questions and issues first. If they need to be dismissed then and go on about their work, they can be while the board continues their discussion. New business can be presented and discussed. The chairman normally takes the lead, doesn't always have to. Chairman's children might be involved in some kind of discipline need or issue. There's nothing wrong with the chairman saying, okay, board member, I want you to lead out in this discussion. I'm going to sit back and listen because there's something that I need to listen to. Stay on agenda. Stay on task. It's not fair to be discussing your baling and your cows and your truck driving and go on and on about that when you're gathered together to have a board meeting. And I've seen that. They want the teachers there, and then these board members sit there and discuss everything under the sun except the school meeting for a half an hour. And the teachers, I was teacher at that time, teachers want to get on with their preparations for the next day or get back to their family. And we didn't come here to discuss all that stuff. Leave that till after the board meeting. If you want to stay till midnight and discuss that stuff, fine. But stay on task. How often do you have board meetings? What did you hear here? Somebody else said it. They said at least once a month. I would say a minimum of every grading period. That should be minimum. Meet together with the teachers. But as needed to stay current with the needs of the school. And by current, it doesn't mean 3 weeks after a question has been asked. I made that mistake. My wife said, she needs an answer. She asked you 2 weeks ago and you haven't said anything yet. Exactly. So if you've taught school, you know how that feels to be on the teacher side of it. But stay, if you need to have a meeting to decide something that the teacher asks, get it done. I know it's work, but we are laborers together. Okay, that's about all I have. Does anybody have anything input? Question? Did you get your questions answered that you came here for?
I'm not chairman now, I'm the vice chairman now, but what if there's times that you need to have meetings, to work through things, but some of the school board is just real hard to get to come to meet.
Okay.
What do we do to help those things? And I also know what it's like to have a school board where there are brethren that that are on the team that you know, if you present to them that we need to have a meeting, that you know they're going to try to make it work. Not much question, but then you still always get this butterfly in your stomach about asking this one or two brothers. How do you work with that?
Okay. Got maybe a minute yet. So how do you do that? How do you handle that?
We have effectively used the conference call for a single decision that needs to be made between board meetings. And I think that's certainly superior to having just the chairman make the decision. Sometimes he simply uses that conference call to inform us of this decision.
Right.
But it's part of keeping the whole team together.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to rule out any of those methods of communication totally.
No, I agree with yours. But there is.
I'll just say, in this brother's case, it comes back to the what I consider one of the most important is to get the team together and say, are you with us in our vision? Are you going to be part of the team? If you're not going to be, tell us now. So we're not planning on you. There's nothing like trying to depend on somebody and you can't depend on them. It's better that they weren't on the team at all than to have an undependable person that's supposed to be there and they just simply don't see the need for it. I would advise maybe to work with the ministry on doing that, not just write them off the team. But it's important to come back to the team building and get everybody on.